There's a racial equity problem in America. One thing that we can do to solve it is invest more in people of color. If 20 years ago, Black entrepreneurs were provided more lending, the U.S. might have generated up to $13 trillion more dollars in business revenue and created over 6 million new jobs each year. What closing the racial wealth gap really does is create greater opportunity for the whole country. With Action for Racial Equity, Citi is working to increase investment in Black-owned businesses. Learn more at citi.com/racialequity.
Sam, are we going to behave and stick to the script today?
Nope.
we talking back today?
Yep. It's your girl, Tam Bam, y'all.
And it's AJ.
And we just want to let you know that iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts. But don't take our word for it.
No, they definitely need to take our word for it.
Yeah, they should.
Yep. And listen to our new show, We Talk Back, every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Now every customer, both new and existing, get the same great deal on the best devices.
Hey, everyone, this is your girl, Love Sweetie, on the Regular Podcast, and I'm here with Jen Glantz, and we're going to talk about weddings today. Weddings, weddings, weddings. You are a professional bridesmaid.
That's what I do, yeah, but my business is bridesmaid for hire, so strangers all over the world hire me to be their bridesmaid.
Why would someone hire someone they don't know to be a bridesmaid?
That is such a great question. So usually people will hire me because they already have 6 or 8 bridesmaids, and they're looking for someone to step in, a professional who knows what they're doing, and rally the troops together. But there are people who definitely hire me who don't have many close friends at all, and that might sound sad, but in reality, not everybody has a support system that can be there for them on their wedding day.
I'm engaged, and I'm not going to have any bridesmaids. I've decided not to go the bridesmaid route because I just feel like it can get a little complicated with women. It can definitely get a little dramatic. And I don't know. I feel like I'm older. I'm 38 going on 39. God knows when I'm going to get married. I just had a baby. So we're going to start planning the wedding, you know, once the baby turns one and we have like the energy and the time and the money, of course, to actually plan the wedding that we want. I get, though, why women want bridesmaids. And I also get why there's the pressure to have, like, this bridal party that's, like, amazing.
Definitely. And I'm on your team. If I ever get married, I would have no bridesmaids either. I think that it can be a lot to surround yourself with a bunch of people on your wedding day or even before your wedding day. But some people like the tradition of it. Some people really do want to have a very traditional wedding where they have 6 bridesmaids, 4 bridesmaids, 15 bridesmaids. And in that case, you know, they really want to make sure they're surrounded by people who are going to help them out when they need help and give them the advice that they need. And sometimes your friends who've never been married before don't always know what to tell you or where to guide you.
Yeah, I was a bridesmaid for my sister's wedding. I was her maid of honor, which is like heavy duty. And then she's my sister, so the pressure was on. But I'm curious what you do when they hire you. Like, let's say a bride hires you because you're like the bridesmaid that's going to keep it together. Like, do you get to, you know, cuss out a bridesmaid that's acting up or, you know, take one of the bridesmaids, you know, up to the corner and reprimand her if she's drinking too much tequila the night before?
So not, you know, as violent as that, but definitely being able to pull them aside, talk to them, get them to relate to me, I relate to them. And in the end, make sure that they're on board with just making sure the wedding goes as smoothly as possible. I think in the end, your friends want to be there to help you. Sometimes they do make stupid mistakes, but having me there, I just make sure that everyone's going to behave and be okay. And I do it in a more friendly way. I really try to get to know people I'm working with or working around and really just make sure they respect me and I respect them.
I can imagine that if you're a bridesmaid for hire and, you know, you're infiltrating the circle, right, that some of the other bridesmaids might be like, why? What are you doing here? Like, who are you? And why did my, you know, friend/bride hire you? How do people react to you?
Yeah, sometimes they look at me like, why would you hire Jen? We can do the job for you. Other times it's interesting. Brides hire me as a secret. They don't always tell their friends that I'm a hired bridesmaid. They tell their friends that we're real friends from some part of their life. So sometimes their friends don't even know that I'm hired.
You know what? That makes sense. I feel like that's just extra drama that you might not need at your wedding. One thing that I've noticed, though, about bridal parties is that you're right. They want to be there to support, but some brides get a little crazy And some bridesmaids also get a little crazy because they're single. So how do you deal with, like, the single bridesmaid? Like, what's your advice for brides who have a bridesmaid, who's a friend, who's single, and is, like, always a bridesmaid, never the bride?
You know, that was me for a while. All of my friends got engaged when we were in our early 20s, and I was always the bridesmaid, always the single one. And I think, to be honest with you, as a bride, you should really kind of try to be nice to that person. Maybe give them a plus one if you can, so that they don't have to show up to your wedding alone. Because to go to wedding single is really not a fun feeling all the time. You know, sometimes it can be fun, you get to do what you want, but it can be a little depressing after a while to go to a wedding and see everybody else in love and you be the only one who hasn't found that yet.
Well, I've had that experience multiple times. I was single for quite a while. I've been in my relationship for 3 years, and before that I was single off and on, but I would often find myself single at weddings, which just sucks because honestly, most people at weddings are married or in relationships. So you're like at the singles table, or if you're, you know, like in my culture, in the Latino culture, if you want to dance, for example, a lot of Spanish music, it's couples, you know, it's like merengue, salsa, like you need a partner to dance Spanish music. It's not like hip hop or, you know, whatever, any type of other music, or it's pop music, American music, hip hop music. That type of music you can dance alone. So you don't have the pressure of being, you know, having to have a partner. But I feel like certain cultures, like, it's like if you go to a wedding and you don't have a partner, like, you're basically going to sit at the table all night because no one's going to ask you to dance because you can't go and dance, you know, a salsa by yourself. I mean, you can, but you might look a little ridiculous.
Oh, for sure. And I just think it's common courtesy to give a person a plus one if you can, because then they have someone to make them feel entertained, have someone to hang out with throughout the night. It can be super awkward for your friends who don't know many people or are the only single person to make friends at your wedding. That's not what they're there for. They're there to celebrate and have a good time.
How does that work, though? Like, you would have, let's say, a bridesmaid who's single and you just go and find them a plus one. Would they feel insulted? I mean, I'm trying to think if I would feel insulted if someone said, oh, okay, you're single at my wedding, I'm going to get you a plus one. But and if you don't, like, and if I don't hit it off with the plus one, and if the plus one annoys me, and it's better, it's just, you feel like better to be alone.
Well, usually with plus ones, the person gets to choose who they're going to bring. So it's up to the person to say, okay, you know, who am I going to bring to this wedding? And if someone that I can find, who I actually want to go with, and that doesn't even have to be somebody they're romantically interested in. It could just be a friend. There's many times where girlfriends of mine have said, hey, I'm invited to a wedding. I don't have a guy to bring. Do you want to go with me and just hang out? And we go as friends, and that's not strange at all. In the end, it's somebody to hang out with that person and go to the open bar with them and make the night fun.
You know what? That's really smart. I never thought about that. I mean, most people don't want to give plus ones, though, because weddings are expensive. I mean, if you give a plus one to someone who isn't really in a relationship or doesn't have to bring a partner, right? Not all brides, not all grooms, not all couples can do that. What do you suggest for single women to have fun if they can't bring a plus one? Because, you know, it is expensive.
Definitely. And I don't think that a couple should give a plus one to everyone. I think that it's a nice thing to do to give a plus one to your bridesmaids, because they're spending so much money on your wedding that it's almost like a nice gesture to give back to them and offer that. But if you really honestly can't give a plus one and you're a bridesmaid and you're single, my advice to you is just to make the best of the night. Figure out a way to get through it. Know that it's only 8 hours. Try to befriend other people at the wedding who might be by themselves too, or maybe there is a singles table that you'll be sitting at where you can just make friends with people and get through the night. You know, it's not a lifetime thing you have to deal with. It's just 8 hours.
I know. Man. It's funny that you said about how expensive weddings can be and how much bridesmaid pay. Like, I remember, well, first of all, I was a bridesmaid at a wedding, and then I was disinvited to the wedding.
Oh my God,
what did I do? Okay, so this was a friend from college, and it was one of those relationships where it's like you loved each other. It was like a love hate, like really conflicting friendship. And I've talked about it before, female friendships are so complex sometimes. We make it so complicated because women, we're just emotional, we're so invested in our female friendships. So this friend of mine, I knew her since I was 18 years old, and we had our ups and downs, but you know, we've worked it out and continued our friendship, even though sometimes I wonder if I should have. But during her bridal, you know, bachelorette party, you know, we went to Atlantic City, and she got really upset with me because she felt like that I wasn't putting enough effort. Granted, she didn't make me her maid of honor. she decided not to make anyone a maid of honor, but she had told me, okay, you're actually like my honorary maid of honor. If I could choose one without insulting anyone, you would be the woman. You would be my gal. What happened was that I was going through a rough patch in a relationship. I was going through a rough patch financially. I was in graduate school. So I didn't do as much as I should have as like her bridesmaid / honorary maid of honor. I didn't. I just went to Atlantic City. I paid for what I could. I didn't really put anything fancy together. The little room, right. The boas and all that stuff. Like I didn't do as much as I should have. Hindsight is 20/20. I didn't realize that then because, I was going through my own stuff. But she ended up, she got so mad at me that we were driving home and she banned me to the back seat.
No way!
And then once I moved to the front seat because she had dropped off another bridesmaid, her sister-in-law, she yelled at me the whole ride, telling me I was a terrible friend, that I only thought about myself, off so much. And I... like I said, hindsight is 20/20. I completely understand why she was upset now. In the moment, I was like, okay, this is insane. It's not that big a deal. Like, it's your wedding, I get it, but me, like, not giving you a boa shouldn't cause this. So, long story short, she ended up calling me. No, she ended up emailing me a long email, cursing me out. I emailed her back, like, basically, like, standing firm, like, you're being ridiculous. And then she disinvited me from the wedding. And was like, obviously, you're not going to be a bridesmaid. And I had bought the dress. I had gotten it tailored. Like, that costs money.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's crazy. But brides sometimes get a little crazy.
These things happen. I can't even tell you how common it is that being a bridesmaid or maid of honor for someone completely destroys your friendship. This is not the first time I've heard anything like this. It happens way more than you'd imagine.
And that's why they hire you. So then the pressure's off.
Right, so that their real friends can have a good time. And I also have a package where I work with maid of honors undercover. So if you're a maid of honor, you're busy, you don't have time, you hire me, I plan the bachelor party, the bridal shower, the bride never finds out, and you take credit for all the work.
That's awesome. I mean, it's how did you come up with this idea? I mean, this is pretty innovative.
Thank you. Well, I was surprised to meet my friends so many times. It was crazy. In my early 20s, that's pretty much all I was doing was being a bridesmaid. And there was one night in particular where two really distant friends, the kind of friends that you barely speak to throughout the year, two of those kinds of people asked me to be a bridesmaid in the same night. And I came home and I was venting to my roommate. I was like, Carrie, like, I don't understand. Why are these people asking me? We're hardly friends. And she's like, you're really good at it. You've become a professional bridesmaid. And that's when these light bulbs went off in my head. And I thought to myself, if I can do this so well for my friends, why couldn't I try doing this for strangers?
Light bulb went on. You went with it. And it's working for you. You actually just released a book on February 6th by Simon & Schuster released the book. It's called Always a Bridesmaid for Hire. So what's the book about?
So the book is about my own personal life, my struggle to find love, and some of the crazy weird things I've done to get dates. My mom hacked my the online dating account and would set me up on dates. And I went to a matchmaker. So it talks about my own personal love life juxtaposed with working weddings for strangers and what it's been like going down the aisle for people I've never met before and what they've taught me about love and life. It's pretty much a personal testament to the last 5 years of my life.
I would love to know, actually, what happened when your mother hacked. Wait, first of all, what online dating site did your mother hack? I know J-Date.
Yeah, figured I would try that out. And she kept saying, why are you not meeting anyone? How have you not met anybody? There must be so many wonderful single guys on there. And I said, Mom, here's my password. Here's my login. You find one. And she went on and she was on there for like 15 minutes and called me up and was like, okay, I understand why you're not finding anyone.
It's timing, man. It's time. A lot of it is timing. I actually, my fiance and I met online. We met on Plenty of Fish out of all the places, a free.
No way.
Yes, it's crazy. And I had tried Match.com. I obviously didn't go on JDate because I'm not Jewish, but I tried Match.com, eHarmony, OkCupid, Plenty of Fish, and then Plenty of Fish again. I mean, I have been online dating for years before I met him. So a lot of it is timing, a little luck, a little timing, and knowing what you want for sure. Because there was a point in time when I was dating online and I was just, you know, I just really wanted to something to happen. So I was giving men chances that I normally wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And I think online dating can, that's a trap. You definitely end up lowering your standards a little bit because you just want something to happen. You want to get the ball rolling.
Amen to that. I have wasted my fair share of time with guys who I should not have wasted time with, but I thought potentially something could happen.
Do you ever get a little sad, though, that you're single and you're, like, you know, the book talks about walking down the aisle and, you know, experiencing weddings over and over again, but you're not there at the end of the altar, like, waiting for your groom?
You know what? The more weddings I've worked and the more relationships I've really seen up close and personal, the more I see that people don't always get married for this crazy mad love. They get married because they're settling. They just found someone who's decent, who's okay, or they get married for other reasons. And I just never want to be that person. So in my head, I say to myself, okay, even if it takes me years, centuries, whatever it takes, I just want to find the right person and not walk down the aisle with someone I'm just settling for.
I think that happens more often than not. People don't talk about it that much. There was actually an episode, I believe, on Sex and the City. I don't know if you ever watched the show, but I was obsessed with Sex and the City when it was, you know, when it came out in 2000s, early 2000s. And one episode, this guy who's gay, like openly gay, was marrying a straight woman. And a lot of it was like, you know, companionship. They just didn't want to be alone. So I do believe that there are many people, many couples who get married because they don't want to be alone, because they're tired of trying, because the person's a good person, or the person's good on paper, or they're older, so they want family, they want kids, and they, you know, it was like the next person that came along that treated them well, so that's it.
Agreed, and there's actually a chapter in my book. The final chapter in my book is about a couple who I worked the wedding for, who the woman married a guy who was gay. He was secretly gay.
Really?
So I lived that out firsthand, and it was a crazy situation that made me realize that you can't judge other people's love.
No, you can't. Well, not all of it is the same. Like you said, not everybody gets married because they're madly in love. And honestly, it's hard to keep that madly in love feeling. I've been with my partner for 3 years. We're engaged. We have a baby. Life gets in the way. And I talked about that on another podcast, how difficult it is to continue the connection and just continue to spark that flame that you felt and that you had when you first met and you first fell in love. Relationships are work. The wedding is half the part, but you know what can help a wedding? I actually found a study that says that the cheaper your wedding, the happier the relationship and the marriage is. So I'm interested in your take. Do you think that spending all that money is worth it? You've been to so many weddings. I wonder what your favorite wedding was, and if you feel like spending so much money on a wedding is worth it, or people should just kind of, you know, hire you and then make everything cheap.
To be honest with you, I think that weddings are overexpensive. I think that they are too much. I think people have gone completely out of control. You're spending so much money for 8 hours of your life, and is it even worth it? A lot of the people you're inviting are people you don't really care that much about, but you think you have to invite. So I really honestly think that the best weddings I've been to are the ones that aren't super expensive, that are personalized, that are cute and cool and not so traditional.
I can see why, for sure. Having an expensive wedding can cause conflict, and marriages aren't as happy. I mean, money is a huge issue in relationships. Money is like one of the top three reasons of divorce. I think it might be the number one reason why people get divorced. So listeners, listen. Spend less money on your wedding and focus on the actual relationship. Focus on the marriage. Focus on the love and sparking that love and continuing to connect with your partner. I think that's so important. And people, as I'm sure you have witnessed firsthand and experienced, just tend to get so wrapped up in the wedding.
They do, and you're so right. Life gets so complicated after you're married. You have kids, you buy a house, you get a car. You know, you're going to want a lot of money to do that. So why spend every dime you have or your family has on 8 hours of your life when really the big, big expenses are going to hit you in the face shortly after you get married?
I mean, most people put stuff on credit card, which is like a big no-no. But you're right. It's only 8 hours. If you think about a wedding, you put all that time and all that effort in a wedding for 8 hours. Weddings, like, you blink and and it's gone. I have talked to so many brides. I've been to tons of weddings, not as a bridesmaid, but just as a friend. And I have talked to so many brides who have told me that they haven't even had a moment to breathe or eat. Like, I'm like, oh my God, the food was so delicious. They're like, really? I had not one morsel of food in my mouth because I was so busy. And the time just goes by so fast. So I think brides and grooms, but usually I feel like it's the brides that want to push it to that extreme. Y'all need to just chill, like breathe, and just remember why you're getting married. Like you said, it's about whatever it is love is for you. It should be about that feeling and not grand event that you're going to not forget, but it's going to pass you by. It's going to like a blink and you're like, I'm tired and I'm married.
Exactly. And it's honestly, throwing a wedding is like throwing a birthday party for yourself. And any birthday party I've ever thrown for myself, it flies by. I hardly enjoy it because I'm making sure everybody else is having fun. And in the end, I'm exhausted. And that's what your wedding feels like. There's no difference. There's no other magic. It's just a gigantic birthday party that you spend too much on because you want to make it look like everybody else's.
What's your dream wedding? Like, when you get married, because we're going to speak in the positive and we're going to speak and manifest. When you get married, what's, like, your wedding, your dream wedding look like? You've been to so many. I'm sure you have tons of ideas.
I've thought about this for a while because the more weddings I go to, the more I start to think, okay, this is what I want and what I don't want. And I want to keep it simple. I want it to be under $1,000. I want to have pizza and music. That is literally it. I don't care if it's in a
pizza?
Park. I don't care if it's in a shed. I just want pizza, music, and it to be under $1,000.
Can you have a wedding under, I mean, if you have pizza and music and just like, but what about alcohol? You can't have a wedding without alcohol that's under $1,000.
To be honest, I would love to do something where it's like BYOB, you know, do it at my house or something and just say to people, bring whatever you want to drink. Why do I have to provide it? If people bring bottles of wine to parties all the time, why not have them bring it to your wedding?
So I'm assuming that you're going to have a small wedding party.
I would love a small wedding. But, you know, it always determines on, you know, who you're marrying. If I do marry someone with a big family and friends, I want to invite everybody that wants to come. I just don't want to pay more than $1,000 because I can't afford that. You know, I'm paying for this myself, and I just don't want to spend my money on a party that's 8 hours.
Wow, so that means that you and your future spouse are going to be very happy because, as I said, the study says that if you have a cheap wedding and you're $1,000 wedding, I think that might be the cheapest wedding. That's the cheapest wedding probably that anyone will ever throw. That's quite a goal. If you attain that, please let me know. When you attain that, let me know. Say, Suhaiti, I actually had a wedding for $1,000 and send me pictures and I'll post it on my website and everything because that's fascinating. I also don't want to spend that much money. I actually want a beach wedding. I'm trying to figure out how to have a beach wedding somewhere warm, tropical, not New York. Yeah. Definitely. I'm not getting married in Long Island, on like Long Beach. I want something warm and tropical, but I don't want to spend that much money on a destination wedding. I know that they can be really expensive, but I also feel like destination weddings, you can make it a little bit cheaper depending on the package or what you want to be included. So I'm going to do some digging. I don't know if I can have a wedding for $1,000, but maybe like, you know, like $6,000.
I think you can definitely do it. You know, the more you research, the more you find amazing deals and things that are outside of the box and different from everybody else.
That's true. I agree. So listen, listeners, Always a Bridesmaid for Hire. That's the book released on February 6th by Simon & Schuster. I'm speaking with Jen Glantz. And yeah, what's your website and all your information?
So people can find me at bridesmaidforhire.com. And they can find me on social media at Jen Glantz. And you can buy the book, Always a Bridesmaid for Hire, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere that books are sold.
I'm curious about your experiences. And obviously, I actually wrote a book also, and I haven't been a bridesmaid that many times, but the book is about also finding love and kind of the journey to that. I think everyone can relate to that. Every man and woman can relate to how difficult it is to be single and how difficult it is to find love, especially if you live in a city, a big city. So thank you so much for coming on Love Suhaiti on Her Volver podcast. I'm going to buy your book. It sounds like a fun beach read, but I'll read it in the wintertime too.
Thank you so much. It was just a blast being on the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. So, audience, thanks so much. You're listening to Love Suhaiti on Revolver Podcast. Love Suhaiti, talk, serve raw. You can also find me on social media. That's at Love Suhaiti. I don't have to spell my name for you because it's right on the podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode coming in a couple of days. Thank you for listening.
Get Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the exciting adventure of the daily commute to the peace of mind that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service and legendary customer service. But Pamela Mund had one reason in particular.
My skin is extremely averse to most fabrics, except for the soft, buttery feeling of leather. Thankfully, I found my clan of leather lovers in the biking community. It's been life-changing.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope, it's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Nope, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.